Broadcasting across the United States, Canada, and around the world, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your host for the program is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because life and truth matter. This is a live call-in program, so dial 888-ASK-HANK to ask your question now. Again, that's 888-275-4265. To start today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And again, the number to dial to get your questions answered live on today's broadcast, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. I took off some time today to watch the inauguration of Donald John Trump, the peaceful transition of power. It was quite a sight to behold. And I couldn't help but think as I was watching the inauguration and all of the festivities of what happened March 4, 1865. This was the second inaugural address of Abraham Lincoln, and those words forever etched in the annals of history. With high hope for the future, but no prediction in regard to it, that is the future, said Abraham Lincoln, is ventured. Lincoln went on to say that the Almighty has his own purposes, and woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. If we shall suppose that American slavery is one of those offenses which, in the providence of God, must needs come, but which, having continued through his appointed time, he now wills to remove, and that he gives to both North and South this terrible war as the woe due to those by whom the offense came, shall we discern therein any departure from those divine attributes which the believers in a living God always ascribe to him? Fondly do we hope, fervently do we pray, and this of unrequited toil shall be sunk, and until every drop of blood drawn with the lash shall be paid by another drawn with the sword, as was said 3,000 years ago, so still it must be said, the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. And I was thinking that Abraham Lincoln died precisely 41 days after he penned those words and then spoke them at the inauguration. And my mind flashed back to Isaiah 40. All men are like grass, and their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flowers fail, but the word of the Lord stands forever. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, or has marked with the breath of his hand the heavens, who has held the dust of the earth in a basket, or weighed the mountains on a scale, and the hills in a balance? Surely the nations are like a drop in a bucket. They're regarded as dust on the scales. He weighs the islands as though they were fine dust. Before him all the nations are as nothing. They are regarded by him as worthless and less than nothing. He brings princes to naught and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground than he blows on them and they wither. And a whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. Interestingly enough, you think about the proclamation that Lincoln made for a national day of fasting and prayer. And I love what he said. And with this, we'll go to the calls. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us, and we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become so self-sufficient, too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to the God that made us. And therefore, it behooves us to humble ourselves before the offended power, to confess our national sins, and to pray for clemency and forgiveness. I bring all of that up because when we see the pomp and the power, sometimes we think that we can rely on the arm of flesh, but ultimately we are totally and completely reliant on the arm of the Lord. A lot of you hanging on, we'll go right to the phone calls. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. First up, Bill in New York, listening on the web. Hi, Bill.
Hi. I am an agnostic. I follow Bart Ehrman, Huxley. Also, I read Bertrand Russell, Why I'm Not a Christian, Dierdorf, and Saul Macker, Voltaire. And I think that in Bertrand Russell's book, Why I'm Not a Christian, it describes aptly why I am not a Christian. Do you have anything to say about that?
Well, yeah, I think that one of the problems with Bertrand Russell is that he did not know how to read the Bible in the sense in which it was intended, and so he read unintended meanings into Scripture. The same thing is true with Bart Ehrman. Both thought that Jesus Christ was a false apocalyptic prophet because he had predicted that his second coming would happen sometime within a generation of the time he gave the Olivet Discourse. And their basic idea for believing this was they, again, didn't know how to read the Bible in the sense in which it's intended. So Jesus was using language that was very familiar to those who have read the entire Bible. And the heir of the linguistic riches of the Old Testament prophets, Jesus Christ, takes that language and applies it to Jerusalem. And so he was talking about his judgment on Jerusalem, not his second coming. So this is one of the reasons that Bertrand Russell said he was not a Christian. It's one of the reasons that Bart Ehrman says he's not a Christian. He, in fact, said he went from being a fundamentalist Christian, a fundamentalist on the right, to being a fundamentalist on the left. But again, I think that to be an agnostic is what is really at issue here, because you call yourself an agnostic. And I think what you want to do is look at the universe around you. And if you do, it's hard to be agnostic, because whenever you see an effect, there has to be a cause equal to or greater than itself. That's just plain old common sense. I often say that if you stumbled upon a basketball on a desert island, you wouldn't suppose that it just happened. You would immediately say there was a basketball maker. And so God's eternal power and divine nature are clearly understood through what has been made, and therefore you, I, and everybody else on this planet is without excuse.
I would like to say, what makes you think that you're reading the Bible correctly while you criticize a man like Bart Ehrman, who has done so much for the agnostic cause here in the United States and worldwide? What makes you think you're reading the Bible? He's a scholar in the Hebrew and in Greek. You're not. Well, you don't have a PhD like he does. You don't have a doctor like he does. How could you say such outrageous things?
Well, I appreciate you saying that, Bill. I appreciate you saying that because you're absolutely right. I mean, I'm just a plain old person just like you, but that does not mean that we cannot look at literature and read literature in the sense in which it's intended. So if you look at the use Jesus has in the Olivet Discourse of the sun, moon, and stars, the sun being darkened, the moon not showing its light, the stars falling from the sky, and so forth. That language, if you interpret it in light of Scripture, it doesn't take a PhD, it doesn't take a budding theologue to recognize that that language has been used over and over again as judgment language, and the very context of passages like Isaiah 13 make that abundantly clear. So if you interpret Scripture in light of Scripture, as opposed to going off on some subjective flight of fancy, then you learn to read literature in the sense in which it's intended. The other thing, too, I mean, there are many examples that could be given. For example, Bart Ehrman says that Jesus could not have been God because he thought the mustard seed had to be the smallest of all seeds. And orchid seeds are smaller than that, so Jesus Christ couldn't have been God. So what he does is he takes a parable, he makes it walk on all fours, which would be very much like you, Bill, if I said it's raining cats and dogs, asking me how big the cats were and what color the dogs were. Obviously, you would have missed the intent of what I was communicating. So the importance here is not all of your accolades. The importance is just plain old common sense. And I think, Bill, you have it. You can look at the world and see that God has created the universe because nothing with the complexity of the universe just happens by chance.
You don't have no common sense. You really don't. To attack a man like Bart Ehrman, who Jesus was a cult figure. He was an apocalyptic prophet, no doubt about it.
Well, I'm not attacking Bart Ehrman. I'm simply critiquing Bart Ehrman. You brought him up.
You're attacking Bart Ehrman. Could you call it critique? It's still attacking Bart Ehrman.
Well, what I'm doing...
Who has done a lot for humanism in this country. He's opened up people's minds, students' minds. He's opened up to fairy tale, pie-in-the-sky gods that you worship.
Well, what I'm saying, Bill, is that what Bart Ehrman does is he takes the Bible and he attacks the Bible, and he does it in a very malicious fashion. He says it is a human book from beginning to end. He says that the copyists were animated by virulent anti-Semitic hatred and were copying forged manuscripts. And he made that contention in his book, Forged, Writing in the Name of God. These are serious, serious attacks on biblical characters, and there's no warrant for that. He also takes great delight in the idea that gullible students who have not been equipped come into his classroom, and he disabuses them of their faith. Now, if he did that based on sound reasoning, if he did that based on that which corresponds to reality, it would be defensible, but he doesn't. He uses reasoning that is altogether unsound. And again, Bill, you are a smart guy. You're obviously very articulate, very bright. This doesn't take someone that has earned degrees to figure out. I think you can figure it out. It's simply a matter of recognizing that a man has great hatred for the Word of God, for biblical characters, has made outrageous statements that do not correspond to reality. And when someone does that, it is perfectly acceptable to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within you, with gentleness and with respect. I do pray that you get rid of your anger and find some peace, and I certainly will pray for you to that end. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Keith, listening in St. Louis, Missouri, KSIV. Hi, Keith.
Hi, Hank. I'm watching the inauguration today and seeing Paula White up there, and I was curious about your opinion. Is she really a pastor for the president? And because I know her, well, you know, the Word of Faith or where she comes from, so just shed a little opinion on her, would you please?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's interesting. If you look at what she does in terms of her Word of Faith or her teaching that faith is a force, words are the containers of the force, and through the force of faith, one creates their own reality. If you look at what she does there, you find that she is using manipulation tactics, and she is very clearly prostituting the Word of God. Now, a lot of people criticize her because she's on her third marriage and she has ruined quite a number of churches. But I don't want to get into the personal aspect of things. I think what we have to look at is the fact that she abuses the Word of God over and over again. Let me, when we come back from the break, give you an example of that. I don't have time to do that right now because I only have 40 seconds until we go to break, but when we come back from the break, I'll play a clip of Paula White, which kind of shows you how she misuses the Word of God. And again, this is a very serious thing. I've written about Paula White and other faith teachers in a book called Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. You can find that on the web at equip.org. And do remember that this is a ministry supported by listeners just like you. If you can stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth, we'd deeply appreciate it. And we'll be right back.
In 2016, there were 4 Hollywood movies about Jesus, each one attempting to fill in gaps in the biblical narrative. We often assume that Christian movies are either for evangelism or devotion. But the recent Jesus movies might be better at raising questions that open a space for apologetic conversation. Don't miss John McAteer's article, Jesus Films, Who Does Hollywood Say That I Am?, in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal. Start your subscription today by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Hank will be back after this. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. The classic film 2001, A Space Odyssey, played on the fear that computers would soon become conscious, independent, and dangerous to humanity. But a groundbreaking mathematical discovery in 1930 can put your minds at rest. Who's afraid of how? Why computers will not become conscious and take over the world? Other topics include the unending bending of gender, Jesus films, Who Does Hollywood Say That I Am?, Responding to Evil Christianly, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff writes, "Like a rock of Gibraltar embedded in a sea of manuscript copies, the Bible is yet and forever will be an immovable bulwark fueling our faith and shattering the waves of skepticism and doubt. Yet the Bible provides shelter from the waves of skepticism and doubt only when Christians become thoroughly grounded in the Word of God. Immerse yourself in the Scriptures with the Word of God Audio Bible New Testament, a magnificently dramatized audio New Testament in the Revised Standard Version voiced by an all-star cast featuring an original music score and wonderful sound effects. Receive the Word of God Audio Bible New Testament as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. classic film 2001, A Space Odyssey, played on the fear that computers would soon become conscious, independent, and dangerous to humanity. But a groundbreaking mathematical discovery in 1930 and its implications for computer science can put our minds at rest. Don't miss the cover feature article, Who's Afraid of How? Why Computers Will Not Become Conscious and Take Over the World, by Charles Edward White, in the current edition of the Christian Research Journal. Start your subscription today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Once again, here's CRI President Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Taking your calls live on today's broadcast, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Just before we went to break, we're talking about Paula White, who gave a wonderful prayer at the inauguration today, but is a classic Word of Faith teacher. And like other faith teachers, her formula for success involves speaking right words and thinking right thoughts. She says, "Oh, come on, Paula. Are you actually saying that just because my mouth says it, that makes it true?" Well, I'm here to tell you, yes, that's just what I'm saying. Your words create your world. And her justification is that if God can create something out of nothing, and we're created in His image, then if we can imagine it or image it, then so it will be for us. And to bolster her claims, as I said before the break, she prostitutes the Word of God. Here's a classic case in point.
Now, when God begins to speak, you get up and go to the phone, because God's telling you $68.19 for the next 12 months, which happens to be $818. Well, Deuteronomy 8:18 says that God will give you power to get wealth to establish His covenant. Power means an anointing. Wealth is not just money. Wealth is a wholeness word. It is inclusive of money. But some people don't need money. They need joy. Some people don't need joy. They need restoration. Some people don't need restoration, they need healing. But I came to tell you, what God's getting ready to release is an inclusive of everything. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Wholeness, 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 spirit, soul, and body.
So you can experience wholeness. Part of the trick is to give $68.19 for the next 12 months, because that's $818. And Deuteronomy 8:18 says that God will give you the power to get wealth. That obviously is a prostitution of the Word of God. It's sort of reminiscent of going to Matthew 27:5, where you read that Jesus went out and hung himself, and then jumping to Luke 10:30, where it reads, "Go thou and do likewise." You know, Paula White has made all kinds of claims that are simply false. She says that she has seen everything from the blind receiving sight to resurrections from the dead. And she has never given a single example that's verifiable of raising someone from the dead or someone being raised from the dead in her presence. So again, while I appreciate her prayer at the inaugural, I certainly do not appreciate her manipulation of the Word of God and vicariously through that, the manipulation of people. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Kay, listening in Kirksville, Missouri, on Bot Radio. Hi, Kay.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I was wondering if you would discuss tithing in regards to if it's the same in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Does the Bible have different ways of describing that or instructing us?
Well, I think what you find in the Old Testament is that tithing is a principle by which we learn to revere the Lord our God always. And as I've said many times in this broadcast, that's a timeless principle. It is as true today as it was in the past, and it will be just as true tomorrow. The whole idea is we learn to reverence God, and by that we learn to trust upon the arm of God as opposed to upon the arm of flesh.
And is that different in the New Testament?
Well, I think you're right in the sense that the New Testament has an emphasis. It doesn't negate tithing, but it has an emphasis not on tithing as much as on free will giving, which is the idea that we are stewards, not owners, and we hold everything with an open hand so that God can take out and put in as he sees fit. So the principle in the New Testament that's emphasized is the principle of free will giving.
Okay, very good. Well, thank you for your time today.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. You know, you think about some of the great, great things that have happened as a direct result of people being generous and trusting in the Lord. In the Old Testament, tithing not only prepared God's people to become hilarious givers, but also produced a temple of unparalleled splendor. And tithing transformed the Israelites who pined for the pleasures and protection of pagan Egypt, unfortunately, more than from the one who had miraculously parted the Red Sea, turned them into joyful givers. And the Bible chronicles the prayer of David as he thanked God for the very privilege of being able to give to the work of the Lord. The words are phenomenal, but who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. And now I have seen with joy how willingly your people who are here have given to you. So the point here of that passage is that what had begun as a spiritual discipline had evolved into, well, sheer delight. And I often think that there is no telling what could be accomplished in our generation if we too catch the joy of contagious giving. We'd be empowered to spread the gospel around the globe, to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked, to care for the sick, and to do the things that our forefathers did when they founded centers of Christian education and established hospitals and funded Christian organizations. And so our generation could still leave an indelible mark on our world if, in fact, we learn what it means to trust God with our time, with our talent, and with our treasure. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Richard in Greeley, Colorado. Richard's listening on KRKS. Hi, Richard.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call, Hank. My question is about a man named Johnny Enlow. Something to do, I just heard someone share readings from him at a study this past week, and he said he was a kind of a social reformer. He used phrases like the Elijah list, a clearinghouse for prophecy, and something about seven mountains. What do you recommend further reading on this man?
No, not at all. In fact, I've written a book called Counterfeit Revival, and he fits into that particular space. He is a counterfeit revivalist who believes that there are modern-day prophets, and those modern-day prophets are equivalent to the prophets of old. He purports to receive new divine revelations and dreams and visions, and he promotes all kinds of other fellow false prophets and apostles, Randy Clark, Bill Johnson, Todd Bentley, and the list goes on. So hardly a credible revivalist.
Yeah, just from the first thing I heard, he sounded like somebody that could be termed a spiritual community organizer or something. But social reformer? Is that how he describes himself?
Yeah, that is how he describes himself. But again, it is through this whole idea of apostolic prowess and prophetic power. And what he claims to be able to do, he simply cannot do because there is no recapitulation, as it were, of the Old Testament prophets or apostles. God used them so that we have an infallible resource by which we can test all things and hold fast to that which is true. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Michael in Gastonia, North Carolina. Hi, Michael.
Hi, how are you, Hank? I listen to you all the time. Thank you for all you do. I keep seeing, you know, we're getting closer and closer to the coming. The time is, you know, we're at it. There's nothing left to be fulfilled in the Bible. And I read where Abraham's seed will grow to an uncountable number, like the sands of the sea and the stars of the sky. What am I missing?
Well,
I mean, are we really getting close, or are people missing the point?
Well, maybe missing the point or misreading Scripture, because we don't know when our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will appear a second time. What we do know is that He will appear a second time, and so we ought to prepare as though His coming is a long way off, and we ought to be prepared as though He might come in the next millisecond. So the speculation about when Jesus will appear a second time, I think, is vain and fruitless, and I think that what we ought to be about is the Father's business in the meantime, which is we are co-consummators with Christ. We are called not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. We are called to redeem the time. We are called to the Great Commission to make disciples of all nations. We are called to the cultural mandate. We are to care for this earth. We ought to deeply care for it. Until such time that Christ comes back and He puts all things to right. Until such time that Christ causes the universe, which now groans in travail, to be liberated from bondage. Until such time that Christ resurrects us, such that what is now mortal becomes immortal, what is now perishable becomes imperishable, what is now corruptible becomes incorruptible. So again, the real issue becomes, be faithful while there is yet time. Because we're all one heartbeat away from eternity. Suddenly there'll be that crushing pain in the pericardium, or perhaps the crashing of glass. And suddenly, in a moment when we least expect it, we'll be in the presence of God. My wife was reading something to me yesterday from one of the ancient fathers who was preparing himself in prayer. And as she was reading this, she started to weep because he said, "Oh God, please do not take me in such a moment as when I am still beset by sin, but let me be about your business. Let my heart be right before you so that I might be ushered into that great and terrible moment with peace in my heart." So all of us are called to prepare ourselves, always be ready, for Christ will come a second time. And when we die, we're going to be in His presence. So we ought to live for not just mean earthly vanities, but rather for eternal verities. We're going to be back in just a few moments with the quote of the day. It comes from the inauguration, by the way. And more answers to your questions, as always, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. Be right back.
In Matthew 5:48, the Lord Jesus taught, "Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." Mormon leaders teach that God would never require anything from His children that is not attainable. Therefore, they say perfection is an attainable goal. But is Jesus really teaching that His followers must be perfect in order to receive forgiveness and salvation? Read the current edition of the Christian Research Journal. Start your subscription today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will return in a few moments.
Oh. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. It has become politically correct to view gender bending and a radical redefining of gender itself as ways to set people free from internal turmoil and confusion. But the Bible offers a radically different approach to understanding ourselves and finding peace regarding personal gender identity. Other topics include why computers will not become conscious and take over the world, responding to evil Christianly, Jesus films, who does Hollywood say that I am, is perfection an achievable goal, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Immerse yourself this year in the Word of God Audio Bible New Testament. This brilliantly recorded audio New Testament is a deeply inspiring, spiritually and artistically rich production voiced by internationally renowned actors, including Neil McDonough, Sean Astin, Blair Underwood, and many more. In addition to the star-studded cast for the many voices of the New Testament, this magnificently dramatized recording includes an original music score and wonderful sound effects to make the scriptures come alive, helping listeners to feel that they're personally witnessing the life-changing words and world-changing events of 2,000 years ago. Receive your copy of the Word of God Audio Bible New Testament as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org. It has become politically correct to view gender bending and a radical redefining of gender itself as ways to set people free from internal turmoil and confusion. But the Bible offers a radically different approach to understanding ourselves and finding peace regarding personal gender identity. Don't miss Mary Ellen Dykus's article, The Unending Bending of Gender, in the latest edition of the Christian Research Journal. Subscribe today by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. In light of the inauguration, I thought it would be appropriate to have a quote from President Donald J. Trump, 45th President of the United States of America. Again, this was today during the inauguration. In his speech, he said, and I quote, "Whether a child is born in the urban sprawl of Detroit or the windswept plains of Nebraska, they look up at the same night sky. They fill their heart with the same dreams, and they are infused with the breath of life by the same Almighty Creator." And that is indeed absolutely true. We have our life, we have our breath from God Almighty. "And all the days ordained for us, written in His book, before one of them came to be." I was thinking during the break about Bill from New York, my first caller, I believe, today. And he was bringing up Bart Ehrman as sort of the gold standard for erudition and biblical prowess. And I was thinking about the numbers of times that I took the things that Bart Ehrman tells his students and unpacked them for people in my book, Has God Spoken? That is available for those that support the ministry all this month. But one of them is a question that he raises quite often, that he seems to stump quite a few students with it. It has to do with whether the cock crowed once or twice after Peter denied Christ. And while these kinds of questions have stumped few students, they have baffled some of the most credentialed scholars of our era. And to my point, at this particular time, they seem to have baffled the famed author, Dr. Bert Ehrman. And in Jesus Interrupted, he expresses his absolute bewilderment. He says in Mark's Gospel, Jesus tells Peter that he will deny him three times before the cock crows twice. And then in Matthew's Gospel, he tells him that it will be before the cock crows. Well, says Bart Ehrman, which is it? Before the cock crows? Once or twice? Well, in response, his students oftentimes note, at least those that know how to reason and read, that the problem here is fundamentalism. Fundamentalism from the left, but fundamentalism nonetheless. In recounting past events or telling stories, we obviously don't all highlight the exact same details. And in the case at hand, Mark simply provides a bit more detail than did Matthew. Not only this, but as his more attentive readers will likely discover, Professor Ehrman is obsessing over what in reality is a non-issue, because careful observation reveals that Matthew did not comment on how many times the rooster crowed. Matthew simply told us that the rooster crowed. And whether he means to or he doesn't mean to, what Ehrman does is put the biblical authors in a no-win situation, because if Matthew and Mark fail to provide identical testimonies, well, then he supposes the accounts to be contradictory. Conversely, if the gospel writers provide identical testimonies, well, then he uncharitably charges them with collusion. In sharp contrast to this kind of methodology, erudite scholarship always seeks a reliable core set of facts in order to validate historical accounts. Well, far from this seeking word-for-word uniformity, they expect the biblical authors to provide complementary perspectives, and divine inspiration never supposes that these biblical authors are autonomous automatons, that they are devoid of individual responsibility or perspective, but rather recognizing them people who spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Again, I've written about many of these conundrums that he raises with his students and in his books. And my book, Has God Spoken?, available for those who support the ministry all this month. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Kevin, listening in Oklahoma on Bot Radio. Hi, Kevin.
I just wanted to tell you that I really appreciate your ministry. Praise God for what you do.
Thank you.
My question is on, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, you sound great, Kevin.
Okay. My question is it's about tithing, but I think the broader picture is more about obedience.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that what the word talks about, bringing a tenth of the tithe into the storehouse. There have been occasions, you know, I've wrestled. It's one area of my life that I've kind of not been obedient in, and God's really dealt with me in that, and I've changed that, and it's been great to be able to do that. But my question is that sometimes I might miss a Sunday, and then if I don't tithe, I've got the money with me. And my question is if I give that money to – if I feel impressed to give that money to somebody on the street or to some other means to bless somebody, is that still considered – that money is set aside for tithe, is that still considered along the lines of giving a tithe, or is that change it, you know, and I don't mean to be legalistic about it, but at the same time, I do want to be obedient to what God would have us do and have me do. And so I just want your thoughts on that.
Well, I think it's wonderful that you want to be obedient, but you're absolutely right. Don't get caught into some kind of legalistic labyrinth. I think what's most important is that you give as the Lord leads you. So if the Spirit of the Lord is leading you to give to someone that is in need or someone within the sphere of your influence, you have the opportunity to do something and the Lord leads you to do that, by all means, do that. I think it's a wonderful thing to do. We can't help everyone, but God brings certain people into our paths at certain times. He speaks to our heart, and it's wonderful to have those resources and provide those resources to that person. It is important, however, as I've said many times in this broadcast, to support healthy, well-balanced churches because they are the God-ordained vehicle through which we worship, through which we partake in the sacraments, through which we experience oneness with other believers, and through which we are equipped to go out and impact the world. So if we're supporting healthy, well-balanced churches, that is good. I mean, just to support a church for a legalistic reason, if that church is not healthy, well-balanced, might be a misuse of money. It's kind of like investing in the stock market and picking bad companies.
Yeah, I gotcha. Okay, well, that helps me a lot. I really appreciate it. Keep doing what you're doing. You're really helping people.
Well, thank you. Bless you. Appreciate your encouragement. Let's go back to the phone lines, and we will talk next to Greg in St. Louis, Missouri on KSIV. Hi, Greg.
How you doing?
Good.
I'm truly blessed, too. I've got a question. Why have the 55% of the churches, Protestant churches, gotten away from the altar call? That's the most important thing that could ever happen. When a person gets saved, they'll take you to another room. They'll counsel with you elsewhere. But the way I see the scriptures, the Bible says, if you confess me before man, I will confess you before the Father. And it seems like we're acting like we're ashamed of the gospel. And I'm an ordained minister. I'm totally blind. I'm involved in a nursing home ministry where we take the church to the nursing home.
I think this is wonderful. God bless you. And I think what's important for all of us to recognize is that there are a lot of things we're failing to do. I think paramount of the things that we are failing to do is to equip God's people to always be ready to give an answer or reason for the hope that lies within them with gentleness and with respect. Pastors are oftentimes seeking to do the work of ministry by themselves, which is a prescription for a nervous breakdown or a heart attack. The real issue is to equip God's people so that they can be effective in reaching the world. An equipped Christian is one who is always ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within them. And so if you're an equipped Christian, you'll have lots of opportunities to be a witness for Jesus Christ, and you'll see lots of, as it were, altar calls where you have the opportunity by God's grace to present the gospel to someone or to answer their objections, which gives you an opportunity to present the gospel, and then lead that person to a saving knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So I think, again, the real issue is to be equipped. If you're equipped, God will give you opportunities. The real shame is that most people are not being equipped, and the church is abdicating its responsibility to equip God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ might be built up and strengthened. But God bless you in your fantastic calling. I want to read a letter as we close out the broadcast today. It's I just saw it just before I came into the studio, and it was an encouragement to me. I hope it's an encouragement to you. It says, "Dear Hank, I've been meaning to write for some time now just to say thank you for your ministry, which has truly impacted my life, your show, your app, your books, the books you suggest, the magazine, and most of all, delving into God's Word every single day. It all has contributed to me having a stronger faith and more interest in apologetics being the defense of the faith. I need to bump up my knowledge in order to have these real conversations, but I intend on having them. You're helping me get there. Thank you, and God bless you for all you do. Angie, another note of encouragement. We could not do what we do without you. It is people just like you that encourage this ministry, and as people that support this ministry through their prayers, through their finances, that allow us to do what we do around the world. The gospel's free. Someone has to put in the plumbing. You have to always have the resources. God uses earthly perceptible things in order to affect his kingdom purposes. A lot of ways in which you can be blessed through the ministry, and Angie mentioned many of them, not the least of which, if you don't have CRI's Equip app, well, download it. Equip.org/app at equip.org. You can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live. You can listen to archived editions. You can read articles from the journal, and you can give in a safe, secure fashion with your Equip app. Also, you can subscribe to my daily e-truth. Do that on the web at equip.org. And if you have not as yet subscribed to the Christian Research Journal, it's an award-winning magazine that no Christian home should be without. You can also, free of charge, receive the newsletter. All of that accessible by going to the web at equip.org. And an invitation as we close in the next few seconds to join CRA's monthly support team. It's the most important foundational support team for the ministry. It's people that commit to giving every month in a systematic, regular fashion. When you do, be pleased to personalize any one of my books to you, a family member, or a friend. In toto, thanks for standing shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. We'll be back next week with more answers to your questions. Look forward to that.
Thanks for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our daily commitment here at CRI is to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints and equip believers to become true disciples of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to order resources or listen to the broadcast online, visit our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. Of course, you can write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Hank Hanegraaff writes, "Like a rock of Gibraltar embedded in a sea of manuscript copies, the Bible is yet and forever will be an immovable bulwark fueling our faith and shattering the waves of skepticism and doubt. Yet the Bible provides shelter from the waves of skepticism and doubt only when Christians become thoroughly grounded in the Word of God. Immerse yourself in the Scriptures with the Word of God Audio Bible New Testament, a magnificently dramatized audio New Testament in the Revised Standard Version voiced by an all-star cast featuring an original music score and wonderful sound effects. Receive the Word of God Audio Bible New Testament as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. The classic film 2001, A Space Odyssey, played on the fear that computers would soon become conscious, independent, and dangerous to humanity. But a groundbreaking mathematical discovery in 1930 can put your minds at rest. Who's afraid of how? Why computers will not become conscious and take over the world? Other topics include the unending bending of gender, Jesus films, who does Hollywood say that I am, responding to evil Christianly, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. equip.org.